We sang this song this morning, As Thirsts the Heart. I want to read to you where that psalm is from. Before we go to prayer, I want us to think about this. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, this is Psalms 42, so panteth my soul after thee. The word heart there is H-A-R-T, which is a small little deer, little animal, maybe like a gazelle, but it's a very small. But it says, and it as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from Hur and the Hermonites and from the Zil of Mizar. Deep calleth upon deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. In the day, in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where's your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Have you ever had that conversation with your soul? He's talking to his inner man, and there's something going on inside of him. He feels a need. You know, until we have a need, until we come to the point where we really need the Lord, we may continue to go with the way of the world. But there's always that still, small voice speaking to you inside of your heart. It's not God asking, where is your God? But it's his enemies. Our enemy, of course, the main ultimate enemy is Satan. He is an adversary. He is our adversary. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. And if he can cause you to be disquieted, there is an element that we see in this, and it's called fear. There is a fear that's going on in him. And he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Did you ever feel like that you were the only one left? You see, that's what Jeremiah, he says, Lord, they've digged down thine altars, they've stoned your prophets, and I'm the only one left, and they're seeking my life. Sometimes we may feel this way, but the answer, and I hope the Lord will bless us this morning to be able to follow some more of these points, but the answer is not in the world, it's not in government, it's not in preachers, it's not in deacons, it's not in the church, it's in the Lord. Hope thou in God. He's our anchor. And you know, it's an amazing thing here in this last point. He says, I will say unto God, my rock. Think about God as a rock. A rock is solid. And when we're talking about a rock, we're not talking about one that you can pick up out here and throw. We're talking about a foundational stone. We're talking about the chief cornerstone, the one the builders rejected. We're talking about the rock of our salvation. You know, one time I tried to speak on the rock, and it would be amazing how many songs, we call them rock songs. Primitive Baptists sing rock songs. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There is a rock that never moves. He's steadfast. He's unmovable. And that's what he wants us to be. But because of the things in this world, and how troubled are we today, in not only in America, but the entire world is at war with evil. And if the Lord will bless us this morning, we're going to try to speak about along some of these lines. You know, the Lord is so gracious. But sometimes the cares of the life, the cares of this life, the cares of the world, our family, sometimes it's we get so bogged down in things of the world that we lose sight of the Lord. And David, in this psalm, was in that condition. He felt like that he felt like he was cast down. He felt like he had lost sight of the Lord. But I love verse 8 of this song. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. That's an awesome verse. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Do you ever, sometimes when you're cast down, when you're disturbed with whatever it is in your life, if it's sickness, if it's family troubles, if it's financial problems, there's all kinds of things that cause us to kind of worry about stuff. The Philippians says, cast all your cares. No, that's 1 Peter. But he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. I want to read some scriptures this morning out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've heard a lot of sermons preached from verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. But the context of this chapter, and the context really of the second letter of Timothy, is it's encouragement to a young minister who perhaps was feeling a lot like David, cast down, discouraged, fearful. And I can't figure out any reason why the Lord would impress Paul to say, don't be ashamed, unless he was ashamed. I'll begin reading here, and I want to read down through verse 10. No, I'll read through verse 12. You'll have your scriptures. You know, when we're reading, and if I don't misread it, then you'll know that this is perfect. Sometimes I make mistakes, but when the Word of God is pure and it's true. Okay, now if you want to follow with me, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it's in thee also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance. I want you to see that. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, son Timothy. See, get it? Do you see this? I put you in remembrance, my son, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us, if I have a text this morning, this is it. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, notice this. Because of those points, my son, do not be ashamed. Be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us, God, who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now notice this. Nevertheless, all the things, and go back, and one of the brothers in our association talked about the stripes and the trophies, the actual trophies that the Apostle Paul had. He said, I glory not in those things, but I glory in mine infirmities and in the things that's happened to me. He said, all of these things that's happened to me, at the bottom line is, I'm still not ashamed. For I know, and I want you to ask yourself this morning, do you know this? Do you know this? I know whom I have believed. There's a song on that. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And then he encouraged him to say, so because of this, my son, hold fast. Don't let them go. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I might as well read a little bit. I'll read a little bit more. That the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, The Apostle Paul, he was beaten, he was thrown off of the cliff one time, and run out of every place he went because he was preaching the gospel. And these were, and I want us to think about the perilous times that we're in now in America and in the world. It's on fire, literally, all over the world. An evil person take a truck and run down through the middle of a parade, killing hundreds of people. And it's every time you turn around, there's some other evil thing going on. And we as God's people even are caught up in the terror that's in the world. Are you afraid? You know? Fear is, he said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if we have this fear and we're discouraged and we're sometimes the paranoia that's in us, it causes us to not even want to even go outside or do anything, but we just hunker down in our bunkers and tremble. I mean, I want you to remember, Brother Mark, a guy named Jeremiah? Remember him? He was a prophet of God, but I think it was Jeremiah. It might have been Ezekiel. I think it was Ezekiel. But when he did all those wonderful things, he ran over and hid in a cave. Remember? Hid in a cave. And God sent the ravens to feed him. But he came to the point, he says, "What are you doing here? What are you doing hiding in this place?" As I said, one place it said, "Lord, the answer was, "Lord, they've digged down your altars. They stoned your prophets. And I'm only alone. I'm the only one left. And they're about to kill me." He says to his prophet, he says, "I have reserved unto me 7,000 men. 7,000 who have not bowed their image, not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." He said, and we read this in the New Testament, there is a remnant. He said, "I have reserved a remnant according to the election of grace." There is going to be, we need to believe this point, that when Jesus says to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." He wasn't building his church upon Peter. He was building his church upon the statement that he had made, that Peter had made, "Thou art the Christ." We need to keep that in mind. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If we didn't have any other scripture to prove the perpetuity of the church, we know that it will be here somewhere in this world when Jesus comes back. We are part of that remnant. We're part of those that seek the Lord in our troubles and trials. But Timothy was a preacher of the gospel. But this chapter tells me, now notice, and I want to read a couple of verses in the next chapter, then we'll try to get on with something else. Now notice, he's again in the encouragement of him. Each one of us needs to take these words and apply them to me personally, to you. Be strong. Therefore, he says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Stand fast upon the principles that you've been taught. Stir up the pure mind of God. Stir up that which is in you." Stirring up means you need to get it going again. I mean, to me, if he said, "Stir up that which is in you by the laying of my hands," we said this in the chart. When we lay our hands on somebody, Brother Tom, we're not giving them anything than when recognizing the gift that they have that's been given to them of God. And Paul did not lay his hands on Timothy and impart any gift to him. He laid his hands on him and sent him out as his son to preach the word. That's what he says over in that chapter, in fourth chapter. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For there shall come a time when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to them themselves teachers having itching ears." They want to be tickled. They don't want to hear the sound doctrine. They want to hear the sweet things and all the things that they can hear and about the love and all these things. But brethren, it's not all peaches and cream. We're living in the camp of our enemy.
That's what David meant when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thou preparest, listen to this beautiful thing, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're not going to get away from this. It's in the world. We have a table right here prepared of God in the very camp of the enemy. This world is not our... We heard some wonderful preaching on this. This world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers here upon this earth. Our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. And we need to act like our citizenship is there. We're living in the foreign land. We're in the very camp of our enemy. And it's very difficult for us, I know, from time to time, to live in joy and peace. You know, there's people that just go along bubbly all the time, you know, joyful, 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 joyful. That's a facade. If they're like me, they're not joyful all the time. They have doubts. They have fears. They have problems. They have tribulations. They have all kinds. They have sickness. They have death in their family. We just got word this yesterday that one of our dear neighbors that was by us passed away, and we're going to be going to that funeral on Tuesday. Death is all around. Sickness, pain, sorrow. What are we going to do? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that this is the valley of death that we're walking? I mean, if you don't believe me, get your paper and read in the obituaries and find out. You can't count them all. There's just people dying all around. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's all around us. Evil. Everywhere you look. What are we going to do? He said, I will fear no evil. How can you say that? Because thou art with me. Now, you know, if we truly, honestly, earnestly believe Romans 8, where it says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things past, nor things to come, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can separate us from the love of God? Are you persuaded this morning? Timothy wasn't altogether persuaded, or else he wouldn't have needed this letter. But this is a letter to Timothy, but it's to you, and you, and you, and to me. Now he says, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. What good is us coming to a wonderful meeting like we had in here and all these sermons and just rejoicing in the Lord and just praising God and then go away and forget what we heard? Did it do you any good? You see, we need to take courage. We need to be studying God's word. The word of God is a light in my path. Lamp, and that's in Psalms 119. You go read it. Now notice, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Do you know that's what the word testimony is? When you come, we used to have people sometimes would say, anybody here want to have a testimony? Can you tell me today what God's done for you? Do you have anything to say about God's love? He says the things that you've heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou. I want you to see the progression here. The same commit thou to faithful men. These faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul received his by direct revelation. He said, the things that I received, I didn't receive it from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul now says to Timothy, what I have received, Timothy, I want you to take that and I want you to give that to other faithful men, that those faithful men may teach other faithful men. And this is the way it goes. This is the way the gospel spreads. It is, and there was one of the brethren said that there was trouble and trials and persecutions all in the church there. And they went out everywhere preaching the word of God. And the saints multiplied. You know, if we just take this little group that we have right here. And we every time we go out. You know, Brother Mark, one of the things that they had said when they meet somebody on the road, that it might be shalom. Shalom. Maranatha. You know what that means? Maranatha. Shalom. Peace, brother. Maranatha. The Lord cometh. These are encouraging words and there's a lot of people. These people out here don't care what you say to one another. They wouldn't care. They don't understand it. Peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's coming. Maranatha. Thou therefore, verse 3, there therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We don't want to endure anything, do we? Especially hardness. Especially trials. Especially troubles. And there is, what we really like to say is, I've just had it so bad. I just know if I can get up out of bed this morning. I just don't feel so good. And oh, just poor me, poor me, poor me. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just feel so discouraged. Look up. Get your head off the ground and look up to the Lord. That's what the Lord's telling us. Encourage one another. If you feel down in the dumps, I want you to call me. I may be down. You mean to be getting me up. You mean to be encouraging me. But when somebody needs something, you need to call one another. We are family. And we need to act like it. We need to encourage each other and give each other the Lord's blessings upon you. Be there for each other. Do you have a friend that you could call at 1 a.m. when you're in bed? Do you have a friend that loves you enough that would pick up the phone? Brother Dale, I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to or any one of you. I want you to understand that everyone that's in this congregation, I can say this affirmatively, would be there in a heartbeat. I just need you to come over and talk to me. Let me get dressed. I'll be there in just a few minutes. I did that this past weekend. Your little sister was just, she was absolutely devastated over things that's going on in her life. All she needed was some hugs, some soothing, some comfort, some encouragement. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. You know, if you're going to live, the scripture says, if you're going to live godly in this world, and that's what we're called to do, we cannot give in to the isms out there, and we cannot walk in the ways of the world. If we do, one day we may be praying like David did. Oh, Lord, why am I cast down? Where are you, Lord? I need you. Why have you left me? I want you to understand something. God didn't leave you. If you want to find God, you have to go back where you left him. Do you believe the promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. And I shall not fear. Can you understand that word, fear? I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. This word said, God didn't, if you're afraid, and there's all kinds of isms in the world, and there's all kinds of phobias. And every one of us got some. If you got them, God didn't give them to you. Do you hear me? You got a fear? You got a phobia? You're afraid of something? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's the word. But he has given us this, power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. You know what that means, Brother Mark? That means like a piece of dynamite. You got it inside of you. You have power inside of you that is stored up. And so you are a bundle of potentiality. You have power from God. He has given us power. He said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We need to plug in to the power. He's given us power. Oh, and love. The word love is agape love. It's not phileo, which, you know, all of us need, and my wife and I have spoken about this. There is three kinds of love talked about in the Bible. And a man and wife need all three to have a glorious, happy marriage. You need, and I can truly say that she is my best friend. I have phileo for her. You know, Philadelphia? You know what that means? The city of brotherly love. And that's one of the encouragements that Paul gives to the Hebrews. He says, let brotherly love continue. You know, you can hinder that. You can stop it. But the word let means to allow or give permission. Let brotherly love continue. And how do we do that? Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We need to show our love. We need to be, we need to understand that this love that we have. You know, and by the way, husbands, when God told the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, that is not phileo. It's agape. That's the same word as in 1 John where it says, God is love. This is, we are to love her unconditionally. And that's what Christ has said for us. We love one another. Sometimes our love gets a little cold and gets a little cool. And somebody may say something to us or offend us, and we just say, I don't love you no more. You don't turn off agape love like a light switch. It's there. Whether you love God or not, he never stops loving you. But we get confused over things. I want you to think about a sound mind. The mind, it's what controls. And one of the brothers said, you need to put the helmet on. You put on your helmet of salvation so that they can't get to your mind. And that's what the world out here, they want your mind. They want your mind. They want all of your thinking. They want to control your thinking. They want everything that you do to be according to them. It has to be politically correct. Can't say this, you can't say that. And you know, it's... Anyway. God has given us power. He's given us love. And he gave us a sound mind. I want you to think about what a blessing it is to be able to remember who you are. You know, who are you? You see, it says we have the mind of Christ. We need to be identified with him. And that's why Romans chapter 12, It said, I beseech you. That means I'm begging you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and this is the part I couldn't get. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You say, well, this is just reasonable. It's just something that this is not out of the ordinary. This is not beyond the call of duty. This is that you're to present your bodies a living, so that you may know which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to know what God's will is unless you... And our minds play tricks on us sometimes, don't they? Just visited a lady in the hospital. She's not herself anymore. That's what I told some of her relatives. Your mom's not in there anymore. Vera, you know what I'm talking about. I know what they're talking about. We lived with Judy's mother 7 years. And we'd go off someplace, we'd come back, and she said, no, who lives here? Well, mother, this is where we lived for a long, when did y'all buy this place? And she would go, and she'd pack up her things every once in a while, little old night case, and we'd go, and we'd say, Mom, where are you going? She said, well, I've been here long enough, it's time for me to go back home. Well, where are you going, Mom? Well, you know, back to Mom and Papa's. Mom and Papa's been dead 30 years. Don't take for granted your sound mind. What makes you a sound? You know, and when we store things up, and that's the wonderful thing about Mom Morissette. She never, never got tired of church. And when she was coming to church, she was at home. You could sing songs to her, and you could just see the peace and joy in her soul. She loved you, and she had stored up things in her mind that when you connect to Jesus, she was with you. But you know, after we'd been there, she may not even remember she had been to church. But at the moment that she was there, she was happy because she had a sound mind from God. And brethren, don't let these things in this world cloud over your sound mind. Now I'll close with one more in First John. Let's see where I want to get. The whole chapter is good, but I don't have time this morning to get it all. And I'll begin in verse 11, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I want you to look at the word perfected. Do you think there's anything unperfect in God's love? God's love doesn't need any perfection, but we need to perfect that love in ourselves. And so it says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That word dwelleth means to continually dwell, to live in. That's what we're to live continually in God's love. To continually dwell there. And his love is perfected in it. That means if we're going to dwell in his love, the love that he's given us will be brought to completion in our life. Hereby we know that we dwell in him. You say, well, how am I going to know? Hereby we know that we dwell in him and him in us because he hath given us his Spirit. One of the brothers spoke about the Holy Spirit. And he says, ask and God will give you the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget that he's living inside of us. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. He is, he's our Lord. And now notice it says, and we have seen and do testify. That, you see that word testify? That's the same as the word testimony. And it's the same as being a witness. You're to go out and you're to bear witness of what God has done for you. That's why one of the scriptures that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go home to your friends and tell them what good things God has done for you. You know, I always have this little joke, you know. I said, well, first thing I do in the morning, I get up and read the paper, read the obituaries, see if I'm in them. If I'm not in them, then I'm not dead. And I have a responsibility and a duty to glorify God today better than I did yesterday. We have seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Can you understand the implications of that? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, God dwells in him. Isn't that a wonderful combination? Herein is our love made perfect. Now listen. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is in the world, so are we. And the word, one of the words, the fear over there, the word fear, if you look it up, Brother Mark, the word fear in that word where Paul said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, that's a different word than phobia. It's a word which means timidity or timid. Don't be timid, Timothy. We need to be, the opposite of boldness is timidity or being hunkered down and cast down. Don't be timid in the Word of God. Be bold. Don't be afraid to say, I love you because you are God's child. And don't be afraid to tell them that you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Now, that you say, well, everybody kind of knows that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's going to get to the point where it's going to mean a lot more to you as time goes on. I asked somebody one day, he said, if they was persecuting Christians, putting them in jail, would there be enough evidence against me to convict me? Think about that. All right, now I said I was going to close. Now I am. Listen, this is my last one. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Are you afraid? And Paul already said, if you have this fear, it's not God didn't give it to you. So where'd you get it? There's only one other source, isn't there? It's come from the flesh, come from the evil one. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. When we have these times of discouragement and and we feel down and we feel so disappointed, think about Jesus. Think about all that He's done for you. Think about how much He loved you. And He sent His Son to die for you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. And you don't have, God doesn't give you a mediocre love. There is no degrees in God's love. This is agape. Remember that. This is the love that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. So this love that we have in us, it doesn't change with our moods. It's always there. But you just got to plug into the power. You know, it's only a prayer away. You don't have to be a big old, great big long prayer. You just say, Lord, Thou knowest what I need right now. I'm discouraged. This thing has happened. Will You please help me? It's amazing how that prayer works. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. That's what the devil wants, to torment you. You know, that's one of his wiles of that he does. And if he can cause you to be discouraged, if you're discouraged, then you can go somebody and tell somebody all your problems and say, poor me, and have a pity party. And you say, I'm going to have a pity party. You want to come over and join me today? Don't be telling yourself you don't have those, because I know you do, because I do. See, we're not superhumans, but we have an answer to all these problems. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth, now he said that we're to perfect our love in Christ. He that feareth has not completed his love. He that feareth is not made perfect. That means complete. You have not come to your potential if you have fear. Fear hath torment, but perfect love. And you have perfect love. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? I know you believe it. Therefore, you have Him inside of you. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have His love is dwelling in you. Therefore, you have perfect love in you. But that love that's in you has not been brought to completion if you're walking in fear. Greatest verse in the Bible, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the called out. We need to be witnessing to those out there in the world. That's why He told Timothy, He said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. That evangelist is just the preacher going out and telling other people, witnessing to people. You can do that. You can tell your neighbors. You can tell all that you see. You know, I love to just sometimes I just go into a place and I say, I talk to somebody, and after I leave, I said, now God bless you. Sometimes I'll say, well, He has. But sometimes, you know, I don't know. These things, brothers and sisters, have been on my mind. Especially, they were brought to my forefront this weekend when I had to deal with a very stressful situation. But we have to learn when we have these phobias and these fears. We cannot let them control us. We need to control them.